Okay, so let's open in prayer as we come around the Word of God tonight. There will be lots of scriptures, as you'll see, and it's all centred around faith in the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you today. We thank you for your provision of your wonderful and accurate Word, the Word that we can trust in and have as our foundation. And I pray that we be people that are consistent in our walk of faith. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Well, tonight we're looking at faith in the King James Bible. This is part one. There's quite a lot in this. I could almost do three parts. But tonight I'll be looking at part one and leading us through specifically the word of faith witness. There's two main witnesses of the authority of the Word of God on the earth today. One is the King James Bible only movement or witness, and the other is the word of faith witness or movement. And we have no problems at all in calling ourselves a Word of Faith Pentecostal Church. And indeed, there are many people right across this planet who would say, yes, I'm Word of Faith. I even heard one preacher, if I told you about him, what he said, you would say, oh yes, I know him, I've heard him. And he said, if it doesn't agree with the book, then it's not God. If it doesn't agree with the book, it's not God. Which of course begs the question, which book? Which book? Is it the NIV, which leaves out verses that the King James Bible has in? Is it the NIV which calls us slaves of God when the King James Bible calls us servants of God? Is it the NIV, the New International Version, which says that the thorn in the flesh is a sickness when the King James Bible does not say the thorn in the flesh is a sickness? We're going to be very consistent in our walk. Which book? I agree. If it doesn't agree with the book, then it's not of God. Now, we need to define what we mean by word of faith. And I was thinking about this, and the Lord brought to my heart and mind these particular three scriptures. There are many others we could use, but I think this really comes down to the crux of what it is. If we are people of faith, and I want to just quote, before we quote these ones, if we're people of faith, then we're people that want to please God. And Hebrews 11, verse 6, shows the utter importance, the absolute importance of faith. Hebrews 11, 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Impossible to please God. So, and then it says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. Does that tell us that faith is important? It sure is. Because we want to please God, don't we? We want to be servants of God that please God, that please the Master. Do what he says, do what he wants. So therefore, we should say, yes, I'm of faith. I'm of faith. My whole nature is of faith. The Bible says that we have the spirit of faith. So faith is a very, very crucial doctrine, absolutely crucial to our walk. And you'll see these three verses. I just want to quickly go through them. Romans 10 verse 8 says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. So you could see it talks about the word. It actually says it's the word of faith. So it's the word that produces faith. And it's the word that's come about through faith. And notice it says that the word isn't far away. It's not locked in the heart of some scholar. It's not locked in a language you can't get to. You don't need someone to say, well, you know, in order for you to understand the Word of God, I'm going to have to go to the original languages, to the Greek or Hebrew, and then I'll be able to show you what the Word of God really is. No, God has already superintended His Word through history to bring it into English today. So, as far as God is concerned, His Word is nigh thee. It's near you. That's the answer. That's the answer. The answer to the question, where is God's Word? It's nigh thee. It's near you. God has not let His people down. And if His people are open to Him and say, Lord, where is Your Word? God will show where it is. So even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. So it must be available to preach. It has to be available to preach. It's no use coming to the year 2014, which we're in now, and saying, well, there's no exact word of God anywhere on the planet Earth which I can grab hold of and preach it. See, that would mean that God is a liar. Because He said He'd preserve His word. And we'll look at some of those scriptures later. Another key one is in Romans 10 verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Once again, the question can be asked, is the word of God available to be heard? And it must be available for faith to be able to come to the people that hear it. So it's very important for us to be very consistent as Word of Faith people. If we say, I'm a Word of Faith person, then yes, we should say, if it's not in the book, or if it disagrees with the book, then it's not of God. If it disagrees with the book, it's not of God. But we've got to be able to say, what book? Because as I said, there's some very, very severe differences between the King James Bible and modern versions. In fact, so severe that you have to say, well, something at work of the devil has been doing something to the modern versions. And the Bible is very clear that it's the spirit of error. And also Matthew 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, the Bible says we're to live by faith. And here we're told we're to live by the Word of God. Now, once again, the question arises, doesn't it? Where is God's Word that I may live by it? Where is God's Word that I may live by it? Now, the modern versions are all contradictory to each other, and they're contradictory to the King James Bible, and they cast doubt on the Word of God continually. If you look at them, you'll see all types of notes in them. This verse is not in the originals and things like that. So you've got to be consistent in this whole area. And that's why this church has taken a stand, and it's a very firm stand, that there is not many Bibles or many words. There is one Word and one Bible. And God reveals that and has shown that throughout history. So there's a great warning. Warning to watch out, because the warning is that we have to be able to hold faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. So if faith and the Word of God are connected, and I believe they are, and the scripture is quite clear, we saw in those three verses there. If the faith and the Word of God is connected, then you don't want to be undermining the Word of God from which faith comes. If you do that, inconsistency and the spirit of error is going to take over. It'll take over your doctrine. It'll take over all types of things, your works. You'll even get to the stage where you think it's okay to get together with the Roman Catholics, even though that particular religion is full of error. But you'll think it's okay. Why? Because the spirit of error has started to take over your thinking. And that's why we must be very consistent. So what's the importance of faith? Very important. Now, I'm not going to go through all these scriptures, but I'll just read this list here. Because This list shows us that faith is a major doctrine, in the Bible. We live by faith, Romans 1, verse 17. We walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. We stand by faith, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 24. We fight by faith, 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. Faith pleases God, Hebrews 11, verse 6. Faith gives victory, 1 John 5, verse 4. Prayer needs faith, Mark 11, verse 22. Miracles come by faith, Galatians 3, verse 5. Salvation comes by faith, Ephesians 2, verse 8. Healing comes by faith, Luke 8, verse 48. Understanding comes by faith, Hebrews 11, verse 3. Wisdom comes by faith, James 1, verse 6. The Spirit is received by faith, Galatians 3, verse 2. Faith connects to God's Word, Romans 10, verse 17. And I could go on and on for another 20 verses. And more. In other words, faith is a very clear thread throughout the scriptures. And John 17, verse 17b, Jesus made this statement. He said, "Thy word is truth." God's word is truth. God's word has no error in it. You can see what I'm saying? That is the standard by which we must stand in our life of faith. That God's word, and of which faith is connected, because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God's word is truth. There's no error. In fact, the Bible says God cannot lie. And so when we do see error, and we'll look at a few errors later on, when we do see error in say, a modern version, we have to say, is this really God's word? Or has something entered in? Has something tainted? And indeed, this has been one of the most puzzling things that I've met up with in my Christian walk, is why Word of Faith people who when they started off, and you know about it, they met up with all types of opposition. People hated them for preaching prosperity. They hated them for preaching the Spirit baptism. They hated them for preaching about healing being in salvation. Absolute hatred was poured out upon them. So it's not as though they were flowing along with everything that was agreeing with them. They took a stand. And what perplexes me is why there hasn't been a stand about the Word of God from which faith comes. I believe there has to be a stand, and I believe prophetically there will be in the future a very important stand. So we have, as I pointed out, Word of Faith questions. What Word? What Bible? Where is it? Is every word from God available today? Every word from God. God inspired his word. He put it into the original manuscripts. Was he able to superintend his word so that every word, even through the translation process, is now available to you today? Of course he is. The Bible calls God the Almighty. He's not weak. He's not held back by sin or the devil or man's antics. God is the Almighty. He can superintend his word through the worst of conditions. And the Bible talks about the furnace of earth. Is the Bible completely 100% accurate and trustworthy? So I just told you recently, I heard a Word of Faith preacher say, and I would say it too, if it doesn't agree with the book, then it's not of God. So what's he saying? He's saying, the book is accurate, the book is true, the book is trustworthy. You can trust everything in it. But then you'll hear him in other sermons rushing to a modern version and using that to try to clarify something or to explain away a difficult word in the King James Bible or a difficult passage. We cannot be inconsistent. Word of Faith Christians say to trust God by trusting His Word, the Word of Faith which we preach. What Bible can be fully trusted? Is there one Bible or many Bibles? We've got to be consistent. And this will be the thread we'll be going through over and over again. So Romans 10 verse 8 said, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, it's near you, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. How can we know what saith it unless we actually have the word of God fully available to us? It's a question. It's something that people should be asking. They should be asking. And if people say to you about this, you should say, "I have one Bible, and it is a standard, and it is the truth. Thy word is truth." What word is nigh thee? That means right very close to you. How can we preach the word of faith unless it is available to study and read and preach? These are questions that have to be asked if we want to be consistent. It is no use saying, "Oh yes, if it's not in the book, then it's not of God," or if it doesn't agree with the book, then it's not of God. And then when we ask the question, "Which book?" "Oh, all the books that call themselves Bibles, you take it as a whole." That's rubbish. God's not the author of confusion. He's not the author of confusion. It's not all the books. And we'll see in a minute that God is very interested in having His words put into one book, not many books. Romans 10:17, one we know, we should know virtually off by heart. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How can we know what to hear unless we actually have the Word of God fully available to us? Fully available. What word is available to preach so that people can hear it and get faith? So the Word of God is available. Here it is. Here's the Word of God. Fully available. And where does God want it to be put? He wants it to be put into our mouth and into our heart, doesn't He? He hasn't put it in the earth for no reason. He's put it in the earth for mankind to benefit. Okay? All scripture is inspired by God. And is profitable, the Bible tells us. So He's put it to profit mankind. He would not have put it in the earth and then allowed devils and sinful man to get at it and devour it. And so by the time you get to now, where you've got 100 different modern versions, Which book? Which word? You just choose whichever one suits you. You're a surfy? There's a surfy version over there. Grab that. Very inconsistent. There is only one truth. There is only one word. It is not a matter of pick and choose. It's a matter of where is it? And what is available to me that's the Word of God, that's the truth, that I can hear it, that I can grow, that I can have faith. But He answered and said, this is in Matthew 4 verse 4, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now notice the words, "every word." So is God interested in every word that's come from Him? Yes. Nothing lost. Nothing lost. Okay? And yet if you go to, for example, the New International Version, it's got verses in there that actually say exactly the opposite to the verses in the King James Bible. Exactly the opposite. Why, both of them can't be right, can they? One must be wrong, one must be right. So, is every word of God fully available to us? Well, the answer is yes. If you believe Matthew 4 verse 4, then the answer is it is available. Because God has said to us that you'll be able to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Where then is it? And this is where people, there's a lot of people who have itching ears, heaping up teachers to themselves, itching ears, because they don't want to hear there's only one word, one truth. What Bible has every word? You know, Proverbs 22, verses 20 and 21 is very clear. It's, to every believer, God wants to make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. Think of the word certainty. Certainty means surety. Certainty means it's absolutely certain. You can be certain of the words of truth. And Proverbs 22 is very clear that God wants to make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. He doesn't want to have it locked away. He doesn't want to have it so that you can't get at it. He wants you to know the certainty of it. He wants you to know that it's available for you, that you can trust it, that you can put it into your heart. But of course, the devil also knows that if he can undermine the word of God, guess what? He undermines proper unity, he undermines proper doctrine, he undermines sound doctrine, he undermines sound teaching, he undermines sound preaching. He knows that. And that's why he's attacking the foundations. He's attacking the foundations. You know? And that's why you don't hear me constantly attacking the problems, as in, what do we see? What do we see as the fruits of the spirit of error in the churches today? We see this trusting in things that are uncertain. We see the modern versions proliferating. But what should we be concentrating on? The foundations. The foundations. We should be saying to Word of Faith people, hey, look, what you have to do is be consistent. If you say, we've got to trust the book, we've got to trust the Word of God, be consistent. Where is it? What is it? What Bible are you talking about? Psalm 11 verse 3 says, but if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? See, the devil knows. The righteous can't do much if the foundations are destroyed. If he destroys the foundations, there'll be a crumbling of the structure that you try to build those foundations on. But do you know that Jesus said that the wise man builds his house upon the rock? And Jesus said that that rock was his sayings, his words. So you build your life, your house, upon the rock of God's word. Rock. Rock. That's certainty, certainty, isn't it? That's solid. That's solid. There won't be cracks and things that would cause it to go downhill. Now, how important is God's word? Now, this comes from Psalm 138, verse 2, a very important scripture to know. Because a lot of people don't even know this scripture, but they should. Because God has elevated the importance of his word to the very top. And he looks after his word, he has looked after his word, and he's, at the moment, backing his word, his Bible. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast, what? Magnified thy word above all thy name. God's magnified his word above even his name. Must be important then. It must be very important. In God's eyes, his word is very important. It's certain, it's sure. And he wants us to live by every word that proceeds from his mouth. Does God care about his word? Does God care about his word? Of course he does. Would he allow it to be lost or have error? Well, where does error come from? Who thinks error comes from God? Don't anyone put up your hand. Who thinks the truth comes from God? Yes, the truth comes from God. Error comes from what the Bible calls in 1 John, and we'll look at that scripture later. We might not get to it tonight. It comes from the spirit of error. The spirit of error. And the Bible talks about the spirit of truth. So when we talk about, you know, unity and so on, you must make sure that we're not trying to get the spirit of truth and the spirit of error together. They can never meet. They can never meet. You know, how could something that contradicts the truth get together with the truth, and you say, well, we're now unified? It makes no sense, does it? And yet, this is what the spirit of error will do. It'll cause people's minds to think wrongly. God that cannot lie, Titus 1 verse 2. So if God can't lie, he's not going to have anything to do with error. So the love of God's word. Well, Psalm 119 verse 140 says, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. What's that saying? It's saying because of God, the purity of God's word, the servant of God loves the word of God. You think about that. Loving the word of God because it's pure. Well, if God's word is pure, then it doesn't have error, does it? It doesn't have lies. It's not contradicting one verse, contradicting another, or contradicting the truth. Now let's link that with Galatians 5 verse 6b, which says, faith which worketh by love. So do you think that if your love for the word of God is lacking, do you think it'll affect your faith? My word, it will. And I think that's exactly what we're witnessing now in the modernist churches. Virtually no emphasis on the proper foundation of the word of God, and emphasis on all types of fleshly other things. And because of that, the love of many is starting to wax cold. And they're thinking and turning away from God's word and God's ways, and loving other things. Loving the fleshly feeling they might get. You see, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Faith which worketh by love, there's a connection. And of course that relates back to Romans 10:17, doesn't it? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's all connected together. Purity, being a servant, love, hearing, faith. It's all connected together. And so we've got to be people that are consistent in our walk. Consistent. Absolutely. The word of God is truth. You see, it shows how to look at the world properly. It shows how to look at the world properly. You know, there is so much of the spirit of error in the world that you know, little children can be put into schools which teach them about evolution and that the Bible is wrong and, you know, all that type, and that God doesn't exist and all that type of thing. And their faith can be destroyed. Absolutely. And you see, that's the spirit of error at work. So what you need is something that's true, the word of God. And you go to the word of God, and what do you see? God is the creator. He built all things, the Bible tells us. So we see there's a foundation of truth there that we can mine and grab hold of and say, this is what we should believe. This is what we should be preaching. This is what we should be teaching. Because the world's not going to do it. You know? You won't be able to go to the local pub and get the truth of the word of God being pumped out and preached, will you? That's not the way. God has placed his way in the earth today, and it's through preaching, through teaching of his word, the word of faith which we preach. And notice what it says in Psalm 119 verse 160a, thy word is true from the beginning. That means from Genesis 1 verse 1, it's true. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. That's the truth. Not in the beginning the universe was evolved. That's error. So, thy word is true from the beginning. And Jesus, of course, said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so, you know, there's a heavy emphasis, and there always will be in this church. As long as I'm here, there'll always be a heavy emphasis on the word of God and faith, because it's so very vital for us to be able to live hot lives for God. Hot lives for him. Praise the Lord. And when other people come in, I say when? I want you all to be able to communicate and teach them so that they also can be brought up in the faith. You know? God preserves his words. Psalm 12 verses 6 to 7 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God has promised to preserve his words. In other words, he didn't inspire them and then just let the forces of time cause them to deteriorate. You know, manuscripts age. Oh, man could never get a perfect translation. Well, think about that statement. It's not man getting a perfect translation. It's God superintending his words through history, preserving them and getting to the stage where he can have his words preserved right up until this very day, 2014. So God has promised to preserve. God promises his words would be kept purified. God promises his words would be preserved. God promises that this preservation will be forever. Forever. Now that should give you great joy because of the certainty you can have. Remember we read about the certainty? We may know the certainty of the words of truth. Because God has had his hand and still has his hand on his word. There's a prophecy we'll look at later which talks about there's a famine of hearing of the word of God. Hearing the word. Not the famine of the word of God. The word of God's available. The word of God is available. The King James Bible, there's millions of copies right across the land, right across the earth. But there is a famine of hearing it. There's a phenomenon of itching ears. Okay, and the prophecy is very clear about that it's this time that we're in, now, that that's happening. So the book of God. God wanted his words written accurately in a book. Jeremiah 30 verse 2, it says, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. So notice he says all the words. So he wanted all the words to be put into a book. Now this is interesting because it's not just for Jeremiah's time. Not just for Isaiah's time. Is God interested in all his words being put in a book today? Yes, he is. Why would he be interested in back then having all the words being put into a book so that people could access it and read it and have it preached and taught? But not today. That doesn't make sense. God is interested in all his words being put in a book today. Notice what it says in Isaiah 34, verse 16. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. Is the book of the Lord available today? Yes, it is. God has not let down his people. He promised preservation, didn't he, before in Psalm 12. And read, no one of these shall fail. That means nothing that's put into the book of the Lord that you can read shall fail. None shall want her mate. No words that have been put down shall want her mate. For my word it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. So God's working, his spirit, has gathered them into a book. Is God's hand shortened today that he can't gather his words and put it into a book today? Of course not. He's the Almighty. And indeed he has. And there's much evidence to show that there is one book that stands above all others. Is there a book today for God's people to go to? Well, God would be very inconsistent if there wasn't. He'd be weak if there wasn't. But he's not. He's all powerful. He's almighty. And his spirit has gathered even today. The book of God published. There is a record in heaven produced by God. Psalm 119 verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So put up your hand if you think that the word of God in heaven has errors in it. You wouldn't put your hand up for that, would you? Because that's a silly thing. Heaven doesn't have errors in it. Heaven doesn't have lies. And so if God's word is settled in heaven, what did God need to do? He needed to get it from heaven to earth, didn't he? And he wasn't going to get it from heaven to earth inexactly, so that there is, now we've got a few lies in there and a few errors, and I'm sure we'll be able to fix that up. Just compare the modern versions, you'll get the right reading sooner or later. Yes, that's called private interpretation. And there's lots of people doing that. This record has been transferred to earth. Now, there's other scriptures that tell us about this, but I'll just quote this one, Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And God has sent his word into the earth today. And the Lord has published it. This record has been published. The Lord gave, this is Psalm 68 verse 11, the Lord gave the word, great was the company that published it. And it's interesting that that word published is there, because I don't think it's a coincidence that it's there, even though it's in the Old Testament. I think it's there to say, hey look, my word has been published. Now sure, the word published means proclaimed. But God knows that the word published also means proclaimed in a written form. Should we be like men who are relying on their own thinking, their own trying to figure things out? Or should we be saying, Lord, you know what you're doing. God is not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 33. So where is this book? Is the big question. Where is this book? Where is the book? We've got to be consistent. We can't say, well, if it's not in the book, if it doesn't agree with the book, it's not of God. And then when I say, which book? I can't point to a particular book. See, that's inconsistency. That's silly. No, we should be able to say, yes, I agree. If it's not agreeing with the book, then it's not of God. We agree with that. Then they say, what book are you talking about? Here's the book. It doesn't agree with this book. doesn't agree with this book, then it's not of God. We'll go through a few more and then we'll finish. So where is this book? The Word of Faith Witness answers this. The Word is nigh thee. It's available. It's not far away. It's not locked in some scholar's mind. It's not locked in the original languages. It's available. In fact, we could call the King James Bible the final received text in English, answering perfectly to the originals. It's not far away or locked in the minds of modernist scholars, definitely not. It must be available today. And these are the two scriptures that I mentioned before, and this is something we really need to remember, and I want to finish off with this tonight. Behold the days, this is Amos 8 verse 11, behold the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And notice, it says, behold the days come. And then in 2 Timothy 4 verse 3 it says, for the time will come. So link it with this. So there's a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. It's not a famine of the words of the Lord, because the words of the Lord are available. It's a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. There's a big difference. A big difference. You know, I've had people think that I'm an idiot because I hold to the King James Bible as the one Bible. But that's because they're in the middle of the famine of hearing. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Itching ears is related to that famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Itching ears. What's the itching ears about? I want a Bible that suits me. I don't want to hear that thing. That's too hard. I want something that suits me. And this is the reality. This is the state of the modernist churches today. The itching ear phenomenon is very much at work. So let's close in prayer. And we'll continue on this next week, and we'll learn a lot more about the King James Bible as well. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you and glorify you. We thank you for the certainty of the words of truth. We thank you for providing that to us today. And Lord, I pray that all of us would be people that are consistent, that hold to the book as truth, your book, the book of the Lord. Help us, Lord, to be consistent in our lives, to grow in faith and in the knowledge of the Word of God and the ways of God. I thank you for the people here tonight. I thank you for what you're doing in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.